I may be a little biased, but tonight's message is going to be awesome as my wife Julia comes to preach. And the Bible reading I have the privilege of doing it is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a short passage, but really profound. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
I remember a story that impacted me a number of years ago before I started seriously following Jesus. Nikki Cruz was a Puerto Rican teenager who had moved to New York and was living on the streets. By the age of 16, he was the leader of a vicious gang, the Mau Maus. And he was lost in a cycle of drugs, alcohol, and brutal violence. Yet he was relentlessly loved by a street preacher called David Wilkinson. And his life was radically changed when he encountered the love of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And reading this story really stirred something in my heart. I really wanted to experience this myself. We love a good transformation story, don't we? Whether it's the nerdy guy on the reality show who, you know, gets a new haircut and a new set of clothes and suddenly all the girls are suddenly after him. Or maybe it's the mother and daughter duo on Biggest Loser who shed the kilos and discover a new body. Or maybe it's renovations on the block, you know, seeing an old house transformed into a new one. Or I still reckon the best ones are when someone's so down and out and yet they encounter Jesus and their life is radically changed. We get great joy and satisfaction, don't we, witnessing those stories. Well, do you know tonight that each one of us is actually a remarkable transformation story too? Don't be quick to deny that. God longs for each of us to be transformed into his likeness, into the glorious likeness of his son Jesus. To be loving, to be kind, to be at peace, to be free of fear and pain, to be joyously filled with hope and with abundant life. And to be lovingly restored into an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And this transformation happens when we offer our whole self to God as a living sacrifice and our minds are renewed. This is the most meaningful response that we can give to the mercies that God has shown us in his Son Jesus. I want to encourage you to lean into God now and to ask him to open up your heart as we hear this life-changing message. So let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you for the transformation that you bring. We thank you for the transformation that has already begun in our lives, Father. And Lord, we want to be made even more new, even more into the new creation that you've designed us to be. So I pray tonight, God, that our hearts would be humbled, Lord, that we can just put aside our thoughts and we can tune into you, Lord, and we can hear and be open to what you have to say for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So why does our mind need to be renewed? We will be transformed when our mind is renewed. God's purpose for us is transformation, and the renewing of our mind brings transformation. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for transformed here is metamorpho, and that's where we get our English word metamorphosis. Now, we're all familiar with the example of the butterfly life cycle from the caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. The squirmy, poo-dropping caterpillar is remarkably turned into this majestic, beautiful butterfly. My friend Heidi in the US actually collects eggs of the monarch butterfly. These are her pictures. and she nurtures them and grows them, and then she watches the transformation from this caterpillar to this majestic, beautiful butterfly, and then she sets them free. It's really cool. The English Oxford Dictionary defines metamorphosis as a change of the form or nature of a thing that a person or a person into a completely different one. As children of God and as followers of Jesus, God's intention for us is to be transformed and changed into completely different people. To be kind and compassionate, to be patient, to be humble, to be joy-filled and not fear-filled, to have a love that is not easily offended but offers grace and forgiveness. Paul describes earlier on in Romans 1 what we were like before we accepted the gift of his son Jesus into our lives. He says, the world's thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. God gave them over to their sinful desires and they became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil and greed and depravity, envy, murder, deceit, gossip, God-haters, arrogant, no love, no mercy. We were like this. And we, like the Ephesians, we were dead in our sins, and we gratified the cravings of our flesh. We followed its desires and thoughts. But then we encountered Jesus. And because of God's great love and mercy, we've been made alive in Christ. We are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come. That squirmy caterpillar has been transformed into a majestic butterfly. What changed, though? What triggered this transformation? It was our thinking. As we encountered the truth and the beauty of Jesus, he shone his light into our dark minds, and our thoughts were awakened to the fact that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he set us on this new path of transformation where the Holy Spirit is gradually changing us to be like him. Look at Saul's radical conversion. He was one day walking along the road to Damascus. He was out to kill the followers of Jesus. He was persecuting them and he was just crippling them with their faith. And he had this experience with Jesus on the road. Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And as he experienced this awesome presence of the divine God, he was changed. His mind was changed, his heart was changed. And only days later, filled with the Holy Spirit, he was actually going to the men and women of faith who he was about to kill, telling them that Jesus is actually the Son of God. Now, our thoughts are powerful. Dr. Gary Smalley, in his book, Change Your Heart, Change Your Life, says, the power of your thoughts is what changes your beliefs. Your thoughts directly affect what is in your heart. What you think all day long eventually is what you become. So if you believe that dark chocolate is good for you, then you're probably going to eat lots of it. If you believe that people should be treated in a certain way, then you're probably going to treat them in that way. If you believe that you can't change, then you may not. If you believe that God loves you unconditionally, then you're not going to be afraid to come to him at any time. It's probably not surprising that recently Nancy Brophy in the US, who wrote the essay, How to Murder Your Husband, has now been charged with murdering her husband. We actually need to pay attention to our thoughts. So the question we need to consider today is, what do I think about? Because what we think about is going to either help or hinder our transformation to be more like Jesus. We will conform to the pattern of this world if our minds are not renewed. Our thinking will be the same as the world's thinking. Our lives will conform to the pattern of this world and we won't be transformed. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Or as the NLT version puts it, don't copy the behaviour and the customs of this world. So what's wrong with this world? why can't we just copy it? It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? You know, walk the wide road instead of the narrow road. Well, the problem with this world is that its thinking is futile. It's hostile towards God. It opposes and it rebels against his ways, you know, just like the dark side opposes the Jedi in Star Wars. Paul warned the church in Ephesians 4 that they must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding, and they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. If we allow the world's ideas and opinions to influence and guide us in how we think, then our behaviour is going to reflect that. If other people's attitudes are our benchmark, then we're going to live according to this. So what's the pattern of this world? Well, the pattern of this world revolves around me. Look at me. I need you to like me, value me. More, I need more. How can I get more, what I want? Convenience, oh yeah, I'll do it if it suits me. What can I get out of it? Conditional, I'll give it to you if I think you deserve it. Or I'll do it if it makes me feel good. Worry, what if this happens or that happens? I'm too afraid. Can you relate to these attitudes? You know, they're often reflected in our everyday happenings at home, at work, in our families, with our friends, on social media. Paul goes on to say to the Ephesians in chapter 4 that, however, this is not the way you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. So obviously there's something wrong with the way that our minds are. You know, when Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden and they gave in to eating the fruit, suddenly their mindset changed. No longer were they wanting this dependent relationship on God, suddenly they thought they knew better. They thought, I don't need God. You know, our minds have a mindset. They have an attitude. They have a posture. They have an attitude that is not in line with God and it doesn't submit to him. Romans 8:7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But the hope for those who have chosen to follow Jesus is that those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. God doesn't want us to conform to this world. He wants to renew our minds with his truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. So where do you stand? Are you open to God to doing a transforming work in you tonight? A while ago, Joel and I had a pet caterpillar called Charlie. A neighbour of ours gave us a bunch of parsley that we put on the kitchen bench, and we saw these little black poos, so we discovered there was this little green caterpillar that was eating. So we decided to keep him, call him Charlie, and we watched him grow bigger and bigger and bigger until he got a few centimetres long. After a little while, Charlie started to spin some web, and he made himself a little cocoon. And so we were excited to wait and see how he would turn into a butterfly with great anticipation. Well, 1 week went past, nothing. Second week went past, nothing. Third week went past, nothing. Fourth week went past, nothing. Sadly, Charlie got stuck in his transformation. He never went through the whole process to become a beautiful butterfly. Now, is your life being transformed into God's masterpiece? Or have you got stuck in the patterns of this world? How can our mind be renewed? offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to God is a proper response to his mercy. Surrendering our whole selves to him is what is required. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul's just spent the first 11 chapters of Romans passionately teaching and explaining the incredible mercies of God. Through Jesus, he has forgiven us. He's made peace with us. He's reconciled us to himself. He's poured his love into our hearts. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's freed us from condemnation. He's made us his children, and he's given us eternal life. Just think on that for a moment. What's a meaningful way that we can respond to God for his incredible mercies? Is it not to give our whole selves back to him? To offer our bodies as living sacrifices? Because of what Christ has done for us, we're no longer to live for ourselves but for him. Our bodies mean our whole self. You know, it's our heart, it's our mind, our soul, our will, everything. God wants us to place ourselves on the altar, just like a burnt offering in the Old Testament, except that we're living. And to offer every part of ourselves to God as an instrument for righteousness. Sin still wants to control us through our bodies, but you know what? It can't if we surrender our bodies to God. And this includes our mind. Remember, our mind has a will. It's got an attitude of its own. It makes choices. So we need to surrender it so that we can be renewed and we can be transformed with the help of the Holy Spirit. These days I find myself doing the hokey pokey every couple of weeks, whether it's at playgroup or some other kids thing with Joel. And you know how it goes. You put your right arm in, your right arm out, you know, right arm in, you shake it all about. Do the hokey pokey and you turn around. It struck me though that the last action that we do for this song is that you put your whole self in, your whole self out, your whole self in, and you shake it all about. You know, it struck me that that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to put our whole self in. You know, not just an arm, not just a leg, not just a foot. It's our whole selves. You know, it's not just what I do for him or my knowledge of him, but it's my heart, my feelings, my thoughts, my will. How about you? Do you put your whole self in? Or is it just your arm or your big toe? You know, it's a process of trust, giving ourselves to God. It takes time and it's a process. But you know, the more we experience what a good, good Father he is to us and how incredible his mercies are, then we're going to choose to surrender to him. Our thoughts need to be taken captive and made obedient to Christ. Capturing our thoughts and making them obedient to Christ will bring renewal. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And this is something that we must do if our minds are going to be renewed. Did you know that our thoughts are actually real physical things? Going to get sciencey now. Luke set it up last week. We're going to keep getting into the science. So Dr. Carolyn Leaf is a Christian cognitive neuroscientist who's proving how science is catching up with the Word of God. And in her research, she's helped to prove how the mind and the brain are separate and how the mind can actually change the brain. The brain is physical, but the mind is our intellect, our emotions, and our free will. Dr. Leaf teaches that thoughts are physical substance. Healthy thoughts, they actually look like little trees with lots of branches in the brain called dendrites. And we actually build and grow them when we think about wholesome things. But our thoughts are not harmless. They're actually real. And if we think about good, loving things, like the checklist Paul gives us in Philippians 4:8, things which are true and noble and right, etc., we're going to build healthy thoughts, which actually increases brain health, and it brings positive transformation that makes us more like Christ. We feel more happy and we feel more peaceful. But if we think about sinful and fearful things, we actually create toxic thoughts in our brain. This is unhealthy and it creates inflammation, chaos, and damage in the brain, which can also result in physical and mental symptoms. So it's vital that we learn how to capture our thoughts and we make them obedient to Christ by aligning them with God's truth. Dr. Leaf says that God has actually given us the ability to stand outside of ourselves and to observe what we're thinking. We can have 4 to 7 thoughts going through our mind all at the same time, and they can be a mixture of healthy and toxic thoughts. So right now, I might be thinking about what I'm saying, listening for the Holy Spirit's voice, wondering how much longer I have to go, hoping you guys are finding this helpful, worrying that you're not, and what's for dinner. God has designed us so that we're able to take our thoughts captive and to renew them with his help. It takes a lot of discipline and practice, but with the help of the Holy Spirit and our willingness, it's possible. I've worked on this for a number of years, and at first it's overwhelming because there's so many thoughts going around your head. You think, how the heck am I supposed to take control of those? But with the help of God and my will, it's actually possible. You know, the X-ray machines at the at security at the airport, they're meant to reveal anything that's concealed in your luggage. So as you put your luggage through, you know, things like dangerous items like knitting needles or nail scissors or hand cream that's more than 100 mils. What if we were to take that X-ray machine and we put it into our brain, into our mind, and we actually run our thoughts through that? And as they're going through, we can analyze them. And any negative or unhealthy thoughts, which aren't loving and they don't line up with God's truth, we can actually take captive. And we can sound the alarm bells and toss them out and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm not going to think about that. We can use our will and our attitude of our mind to resist those thoughts, to say no to what is not true, holy, or pleasing to God. Once we identify our wrong and sinful thinking, well, what do we do then? We renew our mind with God's word. We replace our unhealthy thoughts with God's truth in his word. Remember what Paul told us to think on? Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In contrast, wrong, unhealthy thinking, it robs us of joy and peace, the intimacy of God's love in our lives. It can cripple us with fear and with pride, which prevents us from loving the way God has called us and designed us to be. Say, for example, I sense a real closeness to Jesus, to his love one morning after spending some time in his presence. But then as I go about my day, I start to entertain judgmental, anxious, proud thoughts in my mind without taking them captive. Well, that intimacy of God's love is soon going to fade. It's going to affect the way that I relate to the people around me. My thoughts are not holy and pleasing to him. I've crawled off the altar of my living sacrifice, and I need to surrender myself to him again. The beauty of God's mercy, though, here is that I can confess this to him straight away, and then I can choose to fill my mind with good thoughts all within seconds. And the way I could do that is to just give him thanks. You know, thankfulness in our minds protects our minds from all the unhealthy negative stuff. It's powerful. Or I could praise him. That will help draw me closer to him. Or I can grab a scripture verse that I've memorized or I've looked at that morning, or just open my Bible and just read something and say it over in my head. When we find scripture that challenges our sinful and unhelpful thoughts, and we think about it often, our minds begin to be renewed. We actually begin to experience transformation. Just like a new leaf shoot brings fresh life to a black and burnt eucalyptus tree, that image you saw at the beginning, new thoughts can bring new life to us. To truly renew our minds, though, we need to meditate on Scripture. Chew on it, as Dr. Smalley says, like gum. It's good, yes, to read the Word and to study it. But when we actually meditate on it, then we actually begin to experience its full power. Meditate means to think deeply about it. What does this verse mean? What do each of the words in the verse mean? What does it say about God? What does it imply for me? How can I live this out? And because God's word is alive and active, it will start to impact our mind and our heart. And what's really powerful is that when we think of a particular unhealthy thought that we struggle with and then find a specific scripture to fight it and challenge it with, it starts to lose its power. Toxic thoughts and attitudes that we have believed and been imprisoned by for years can be changed. Dr. Gary Smalley, who I mentioned before, who wrote that book, Change Your Heart, Change Your Life, he has passed away now, but he was about 10 years ago in his 60s, late 60s when he wrote the book. And for years, since a young child, he struggled with lust. And he was really convicted to find freedom from it. He'd been memorizing scripture for other areas of his life, and then God convicted him on this. And so he said, Lord, you know, can I be free from this? And he began to find scripture and chew on it and meditate on it in relation to this struggle that he had. And amazingly, his mind was changed. His beliefs were changed. He could now look at women and not think of them in a lustful way. He was transformed. My own personal experience, I remember one of many, I guess, like a few years ago, I've struggled with a lot of fear in my life. And I was, after actually listening to Carolyn Leaf at a conference, was challenged to take a verse related to fear and to chew on that and to experience transformation from that. And so I took 1 John 4:18, which says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. And for 21 days, and I'll explain that in a moment, 21 days I meditated on it. I looked at the meanings of the words. I just wrote down, you know, for a few minutes a day, I wrote that down. And over that time, I could sense his peace. I would think about fearful situations and I just sensed peace. It was amazing. You know, we often have a Fitbit on our wrist to tell us if we've reached 10,000 steps, you know, that day. But I wonder if we took that and made it, you know, in relation to the Word of God. You know, have I read the Word of God 10,000 times today? Maybe it's not 10,000, but maybe it's 10 times if we took that in relation to that. Well, Dr. Leaf and other neuroscientists tell us that it takes 21 days to grow a new thought in our brain and 63 days, which is three cycles of 21 days, to form a new habit or belief. So when we take God's word and we meditate on it daily, 21 days if you want a new thought, then we're going to find our minds being renewed, our lives being transformed. So, do you want to be transformed? What do you want to be freed from tonight? How do you want to be more like Christ? Now, God is calling us to be his magnificent masterpiece. This transformation will only happen as we offer our whole selves to God as a living sacrifice, and our minds are renewed by his word. And this is the most meaningful response we can give to all the mercies God has shown us in giving in his son Jesus. We're actually going to have a practical opportunity to do this now. As you came in, you would have got a piece of A5 paper. So if you can grab that and a pen. If you didn't get that, then put your hand up and the stewards will come round and give you one of those. And we're going to have an opportunity now to just pray and to ask God, you know, God, is there an unhealthy thought that I have now that you want to free me from, that you want to renew my mind with, and you want to bring transformation with? And so in a moment, I'm going to give you a time to just pray quietly and to surrender and humble yourself to God and to actually offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Then to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal an unhealthy thought that he wants you to renew. And once you've done that, write down your unhealthy thought on your piece of paper and admit to God that this is wrong and to repent of that. That's really important, because then you're not saying, I'm not agreeing with this, Lord. I want to be changed. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you a scripture or a truth that you can fight that unhealthy thought with. In a moment, we will put up some suggestions, but there might be something else that comes to mind. And the challenge is to meditate on that verse, to chew on it for 21 days. Carolyn Leaf says, you know, by day 3 and 4, you start to feel good, but keep going because it takes 21 days. So I'm going to take you through this now, and then in a moment I'll show you some other scriptures that might be helpful. So just spend some time now praying and surrendering and humbling yourself to God and asking him to reveal an unhealthy thought. As you surrender yourself to him and that unhealthy thought comes to mind, then just jot it down on the piece of paper. There might be something that you're anxious about, a particular sin, something you're afraid of, an attitude towards somebody, a judgment, just anything. And as you write that down, ask God what, before you do that, actually just admit to him that it's wrong and repent of that. Now ask him for a scripture or a truth, a word of life that can bring change, that can renew your mind from that unhealthy thought. And Jess, you might want to put up the next slide. Some suggestions could be for you if you struggle with anxiety. You might like to meditate on Philippians 4:6-7. Or if it's fear, maybe it's 1 John 4:18 that I reflected on. Or a particular sin, maybe it's Galatians 5:13. That's one that Gary Smalley meditated on. Or maybe it's pride, you might choose 1 Peter 5:5. They're just some suggestions. If you can't think of anything now, then take it home tonight and make some time to be in the Word and to ask God to show you. Just take that now and commit it to God. Hand that over to Him and ask Him to help you to chew on it, to meditate on it for 21 days. Father God, we just thank you, Father, that you have just shown abundant mercies to us, Lord. God, we just thank you that you long for transformation in our lives. Lord, to transform us back to the beautiful masterpiece you originally designed us to be. And Lord, that comes from the renewing of our mind. And I pray tonight, God, that we have learned even more so how to do this, that we will learn to apply this to our lives, learn how to take captive those thoughts that are not pleasing to you. And as we do that, Lord, that we would find freedom, we would find peace, we would find love, we would find restoration from things that have hassled us, have imprisoned us, God, for years. Lord, you long for us to be free. And I pray in Jesus' name that we will find this freedom, God. And that we will have stories to share with one another of the true transformation, Lord, that you are doing in our lives. And we would be able to spur one another, Lord, on just for the amazing things that you're doing in our lives. So, God, we just thank you that you've been here tonight, Lord. Thank you that you've spoken. And I pray that we would be in obedience to that. In Jesus' name, amen.